Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox.
Hey guys, coming to you from the Real Vintage Podcast, and I'm excited about today's episode on Good Morning Pastor. I have my friend and assistant, Lee Franklin, with me today on the podcast, and we're just going to share some thoughts, some encouragement, and hopefully help somebody out there that's just needing to listen, maybe a lift up. And we're hoping that you'll share this, like it, and jump on and pay us a visit to the Real Vintage Podcast. All right. Well, it's good to be back on the Real Vintage Podcast. It's been a little while since I've been on, and I apologize for that. But we're trying to get this a good system or schedule for making podcasts. And my buddy and my fellow church member, Ken Everson, is now in a studio now where I don't have to do it in my noisy office with some equipment that I'm not really sure how to operate. And so we can do more of a professional setting. And so I'm in his studio with my assistant pastor, Lee Franklin. Lee, you doing okay?
Doing great. Doing great.
Good to see Lee this morning. And we're just coming to you with the Real Vintage Podcast. I know that we do have some faithful listeners. Since the last podcast, I was at Arise youth conference in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and I met, I don't know how many came up, several, maybe a dozen throughout that week that said, man, we love your podcast. When are you going to do another one? When are you going to do another one? Then I had a couple people comment on social media, hey, we'd love to have a new episode on the Real Vintage Podcast. We enjoy it. And some of them were even female, so it wasn't all just pastors and guys and men. It was some pastors' wives and different ones. And so I appreciate all that listen, and we try to be encouraging, and we try to just kind of give you some thoughts from time to time. And we have done a plethora of different subjects through these years. I think we started in 2020 during the COVID season, where a lot of folks started podcasts because there was nothing else to do. And we wanted to start a podcast because it was we wanted to get some good positive stuff out there. And so we've just kind of continued it, but it has not been as consistent as we had hoped. And so we're going to try to get back on the consistency train and try to encourage some folks. And so we're very glad that you're with us. If you would do a few things for me to help share our podcast, kind of get some new listeners out there, especially when you're not as consistent as you should be, sometimes the well will dry up and you have to almost start over. I don't feel like we have to start over, but I do feel like we need to get our name back out there and the podcast back out there. So if you don't mind, we just want to have you to share it, talk about it on social media, refer us, Twitter, whatever, Instagram. And we would love to have you be a part of that. I do have a book recommendation. My friend, a good friend that pastors down in Lawrenceville, Georgia, his name's Kenny Kuykendall. Kenny just wrote a brand new book, and this man it puts out some wonderful material. Just got it in the mail. I highly recommend. There's never been one time that I've read anything that Kenny has ever put out that I was not stirred up about. Just love. It stirs my heart and challenges me, especially in this matter of prayer. And he put a brand new book out entitled 100 Words That Will Radically Change Your Prayer Life. Now, that sounds very intriguing to me. I have not read this book yet. I have been couldn't wait. I've been seeing him talk about it. He's got some social media stuff out there about this book. But it's 100 words that will radically change your prayer life. You can find it at crossroadspublications.org. And Kenny pastors in the Lawrenceville, Georgia area, and pastors the Crossroads Baptist Church. And a dear friend, I do highly recommend his book. And put it in your bookstore or your bookshelves or a new members class or a prayer class or a group. We've used all of his books at some point, or at least these books on prayer. We've used them in our small groups on Wednesday nights or on Sundays even, and they have been so helpful in this matter of prayer. And that journal, I highly recommend his prayer journal. and all of those things there. So I wanted to put a good book recommendation out there on the Twitter land and the Facebook, and also in the podcast land, where you can kind of download that or at least order it online, and that would be a blessing there. Speaking of pastors, and you know, today, of course, and I'm making this podcast on a Tuesday in late August. Honestly, it's the last few days in the month of August, which is absolutely mind-blowing that this year is fleeting by. It's just, Lee, it's college football season.
I'm looking forward to it.
So, Lee, tell me about your Clemson Tigers. I mean, what's your projected season? I mean, do you know?
I'm looking at 11-1.
Okay. Who's your loss to?
It's not to Notre Dame. I think we're going to take the Irish in November.
Yeah. All right.
Probably lose.
You think like one of the?
It's hard to tell.
Y'all have a hard time with a few. Sometimes y'all have a hard time with Syracuse.
Yeah. That's sad. We got them at home, but a lot of the.
Georgia Tech can be.
Boston College is a tricky one.
Yeah, so it is. Boston College can be a rough one for us, too.
Yeah.
Those games that you sometimes overlook on the calendar, yeah,
that's the
those
one.
Are the ones that are.
That's it.
Now, I'm a big Notre Dame fan and a big Irish fan. I know you guys give me a hard time about being rooting for a Catholic school, but I have always been. I've confessed this to my priest. And he has forgiven me. He's taken him to Jesus and forgiven me, I guess. No, but I do pull for the Irish. I do believe that we're going to lose three games this year. We will lose. Now, I'm hoping we don't, but I think we'll lose at Ohio State Saturday. Ohio State's tough to beat, especially in the horseshoe. I hate Ohio State. I'll use the word hate, and I'm not just throwing that word around. I despise Ohio State. And Ken, am I getting a thumbs up there? Ohio, he's a Michigan State fan. So I'm not a big Buckeye fan. I'm not a big Wolverine. You know, I hate the Wolverines too. So, you know, those teams can – we Notre Dame don't play Michigan. We stopped that rivalry. I think a few years ago. So we need to bring that back. That was a good rivalry. But we do play teams like USC, which I think is going to be a tough team this year. USC is not University of South Carolina, but University of Southern Cal, the real USC.
Amen.
And then we'll play Ohio State. We'll play Clemson. I feel like those will be some very tough games for us. You know, we've got some ACC games. I feel like we'll win. So, and this is our first year coach, Marcus Freeman, and you know how a first year coach coming in, storied program, lots of pressure. I love Marcus Freeman. I think we ought to give him 3 or 4 years to develop, at least. And he is he's a player's coach. I love him. I love his mentality. He's a sharp family man. And I don't think he's there for you know, like to climb the ladder. I think he's there because he truly wants to be there. And I could see him even coaching in the NFL. I really do. He's that good of a coach, at least have proven so far. And Notre Dame will be a good test for him. So 11-3. We'll be 9-3. And we will, you know, make a good bowl because it's Notre Dame. And we'll have a winning season. And we'll beat some decent teams. But now, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Sunday morning, I'm running laps around the church, shouting the victory that we beat Ohio State.
That'd be a great upset.
If we beat Ohio, we're 17.5 points underdog.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which Marcus Freeman said that he's going to use that as a weapon. So that could be something that makes them play a little better. We have lots of questions. We graduated a really good quarterback. And we got the quarterback issues up. I think he got, you know, Buckner, and we've got different ones, Pine. You know, we'll just see how it goes. We'll have a good team, but I'm not sure if it'll be a great team. So we've been blessed the last few years to have some good teams. But anyway, I love college football. NFL will be starting up here the following week. This is the best time of the deer season. Starts up September 15. Cooler weather around the corner. Listen, we've got so many things going. I just love the month of September. We have a big day at our church, September the 11th, and we're looking forward to that and what the Lord is going to do there. You pray for us, if you would. We're calling it We Remember. I know many of you churches will be doing something similar. September 11th hit us hard, 2001. Can take you to the very spot I was when I found out. Lee, you can do the same. It's one of those landmarks, like a Pearl Harbor type thing.
Yep.
People dying on our soil, and that is a major event in our history. And so we're going to remember that. My kids need to know about it, and they need to know that. And then also the sacrifice that Jesus Christ, he paid for us on Calvary. And so we're going to honor our law enforcement, whoever comes, law enforcement, firefighters, EMT, first responders, that, and have breakfast for them and some gifts for them. And then there'll be two morning services. And we broke an attendance record this past Sunday. We had nearly 600 in church Sunday morning, which is incredible. There was no seats. We've just bought this building, and it's we set a record in our A service and in our B service, and crazy what God's doing and folks joining. Well, I think we've had 8 families join in the last 3 weeks, and just saving folks, baptizing folks. God has been so good. Doesn't mean the devil ain't fighting. Usually that's a good indicator that something good's happening, is when the devil kind of tries to throw a wrench in things, but we can expect that, and we're very thankful. Speaking of that, I'm working on kind of compiling some daily thoughts for ministry leaders and pastors. In the next 12 months, I'm going to put out a devotional for pastors and ministry leaders that I have been just putting thoughts together, like a daily almost like a daily devotional that would be something that ministry leaders could read, a good reminder, a good thought every day for 365 days for ministry leaders and for pastors. I do have a burden for ministry leaders, and especially pastors and their families. That text that you get, I'm going to entitle it "Good Morning, Pastor." Because usually on Monday morning, you can get a text, and we all know that feeling. Good morning, Pastor, or an email. Sometimes those emails are wonderful. Sometimes they're filled with encouragement. But then there's other times those emails and texts are filled with, can I meet with you? Or I had a problem with what you said, or were you picking on me, or did you know I was doing? And so you go into those, and so we all need encouragement. I need encouragement. Lee, you need encouragement. We both have pastored. Lee was a senior pastor. He's going to talk about that in just a few minutes. He senior pastored in about an hour from here for 6 years in Union County, and so. We're not up here just, I'm going into my 7th year. I've completed 6 years back in May, and I'm working on my 7th year of senior pastoring. And then, of course, I was an assistant associate for nearly 14 years. So I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. I know you ministry leaders have. If you've only pastored for a little while, there's some brand new pastors out there, and they're just soaking it in, and everything's so wonderful. But give it a few years, and you will have some battles. There'll be some good morning pastors. There'll be some resistance. There'll be some that'll rise up, and you'll have to encourage yourself in the Lord, as David did. You'll have to find some, and then you'll have to find someone that you can talk to. And so, I want to be an encouragement. And so today, for just a few minutes on the podcast, I wanted to maybe be an encouragement to some pastors out there today and ministry leaders. So, Lee, we're going to start it out with this. What are some areas that you wish you knew then when you pastored? Because you've been at Bible Baptist now for going on 4 years, right?
Yep.
Or it's already been 4 years.
Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Three on staff.
Two Sundays. No. I think it was around August the 20th, 2018, was my first Sunday here.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
And then June of the following year is when you actually came on staff. So we're 4 years in, 3 years on staff, and then you pastored 6 years before coming to Bible in Union County, Glory Baptist Church. So what are some areas that you wish that you knew then that you know now, that some things that you kind of wish you would have known then?
I would say one of the first things I think about is you can't change people. And you may convince people to do right for a short time, but ultimately I had to learn this. People are going to do what they want to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And it comes down to that. And I believe I had to learn one of the biggest things. In preaching, you have to exalt Christ.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things. As a young pastor, I would often fall into the trap of preaching the do's and don'ts in every message. But if people don't love Jesus, they're not going to live godly lives.
No.
You may convince them for a short time, but ultimately they have to fall in love with Christ. And they're not going to be faithful if they don't love Jesus. They're not going to be Christ-like if they don't love Jesus. And I believe I had to learn this the hard way, where you have to create an environment that allows the grace of God to do its work.
That's right.
In their lives. Allow the Spirit of God to work in their lives. You can't change them.
So would you say that the old Lee, or the Lee that pastored, and basically you went in, if you told a little backstory, at least this is what I understood, you kind of went in when Glory needed a pastor, and you just kind of said, hey, I'll do it, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It was not that you had any pastoral experience.
No.
Though
no.
You were in a good church before,
sure.
and seen some men and tried to model some of that. When you go in and like you said, creating an environment of grace,
mm-hmm. sure.
forgiveness,
sure.
Compassion,
yeah.
versus going in saying, hey, if you don't live up to this,
exactly right.
you're not right with God,
exactly.
and you need to hit this altar.
Exactly right.
And we've all experienced that, where it's like, oh man, if I go in there, I'm going to get just blistered.
Mm-hmm.
And we I've been guilty of that before. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. That is a big statement that you said, where we create an environment of grace. And I do believe that. I had a man tell me last night at supper. He said, "Pastor, I'm not just saying this to because you're standing here or you're sitting here." He said, "I'm saying that since I've been at Bible, I think he came in February." He said, "I have grown," but he said there is something, and he came from a church that I would say that did not have an environment of grace.
Mm-hmm.
But he came and he said, "Preacher, I'm just going to tell you, there God is there." And let me just say, where grace is, that's where God
that's
is.
Exactly right.
Because we know that.
Yes.
Like, we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't we create that environment in our churches where we, instead of preaching against everything, and if you're known in your community about what you're against instead of what you're for,
mm-hmm.
then you might need to refocus a little bit.
That's
you
good.
Know, I don't want to be known so much, because here's my deal. If I'm for Jesus, there's a lot of things that I'm against.
Exactly right. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a lot of things Jesus was against.
Absolutely.
But I want to be known for sinners.
Sure.
I want to be known for loving people and compassion, and then and Jesus Christ and the Word of God, because when you stand for those things, what you're saying is I'm standing against some of these things.
Yep.
And even in society. Sometimes people take that statement and they think that that's a compromising statement, but it's not. I think it's a very biblical statement.
Sure.
That we should be known for what we stand for what we're for, instead of knowing in our community, people know us for what we stand against. And so, some areas, was there a couple more points you had,
sure.
Lee? Yeah.
Don't expect your strengths to do what only God can do. I took my first church. I was 28 years old when I began as a senior pastor. And the church itself, it had struggled for a while. And as many young preachers do, this was me, I thought that I knew what they needed. And I thought I could straighten things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of went in with that mentality. So I put more of an emphasis many times on my strength and making myself a better preacher. And we should study.
Yeah.
But oftentimes I neglected prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot neglect prayer.
No.
And I'm not saying I never prayed, but it wasn't the emphasis it should have been during my first pastorate. I was expecting my strength to do what only God himself could do. Mm. And John the Baptist said it well. He must increase, but I must decrease.
That's right.
And many times as young preachers, we try to increase ourselves and prop ourselves up when the Lord is saying, no, it's not your name that needs attention. It's my name that needs attention.
Mm.
And so the Lord has to humble us over time. And
that's a good point, Lee. We are guilty, and I've been guilty, of trying to preach a better message.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
But if you preach the Word of God,
that's it.
You know,
that's
how do
it.
You improve on that?
Exactly right.
Antics and all that stuff, you know, preaching styles, mm-hmm. we put way too much emphasis on that. I do believe the emphasis should be on prayer
sure.
and preaching the Word.
Sure.
And the Lord will build His church.
Absolutely.
We understand that a healthy church will grow.
Yep.
And the way it becomes healthy is through preaching the Word and through prayer.
Yep.
And when we increase the name of Jesus, we decrease our name.
Yep.
And the way to decrease is to humble ourselves in prayer.
That's exactly right.
And the reason we don't pray today is because it's work.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And you're dying to self.
Yes.
I mean, nobody gets alone and agonizes with God that has a prideful spirit. When you truly agonize with God, you're saying, God, I'm not relying on myself.
Yes.
I need you.
Yes.
I need you. And I try my best, Lee, and I think all of us, that's why I recommended this book by Kenny, that 100 words that will radically change your prayer life. The emphasis on prayer is really where the preacher should really step in and say, this is not about me.
Yes.
If I fail to preach with power, then my preaching is
exactly right.
Not effective.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if there's 10,000 people out there or 10 people. I should bathe it in prayer.
Sure.
Whether it be a Sunday school class, whether it be a small group, whether it be a teen class, mm-hmm. whether I need to bathe this in prayer.
Absolutely.
And that's a good point that you made, that we should not rely on ourself.
Yes.
And fixing problems. I'll fix them. I'm going to preach a mm-hmm. message on this.
Yes.
Our mm-hmm. tithing has been down, so I'm going to preach a message
yeah.
on that. And mm-hmm.
We've done it. Yeah.
We've done it.
Yeah.
It's so tempting to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see some people in here that's not been modest. I get that sometimes from people that'll say, preacher, I think you just need to hit on modesty. Well, hold on a second. First of all, you're not the Spirit of God. But secondly, when I get to the text, and I'm gonna preach on biblical modesty.
Yep.
But my thing is we try to fix it our way mm-hmm. instead of letting the Spirit of God
this
fix
it
through
this
His Word.
Yes.
And we are all guilty. Well, I'm just gonna take care of this problem in the church. Well, you'd be better off if you let the Spirit of God
That's
take
exactly
it.
Right.
Pray about it.
Yes.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool down.
Yes.
Give it a night. Give it a day, and then I promise you this: you'll have at least a lot more confidence and peace about a situation than you just flying off. I don't want to be reactionary.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
No, you don't want to be that. No.
That's good. What's another point, Lee?
Spiritual growth is more important than numerical growth.
Mm.
There's no pastor on earth who doesn't want numerical growth.
Right.
If they say otherwise, they're lying.
Yeah.
Everybody wants numerical
growth.
Everybody
wants to grow.
But a church shouldn't be judged by the quantity of its fruit, but rather by the quality of its fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Are my people growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they reproducing themselves? Are they investing in others? That's what a healthy church looks like.
Mm-hmm.
As a young pastor, I would focus more on getting people in, which we should. Certainly, we need to go out and reach people more than I was investing in the ones that were already in.
Yeah.
And that's something I had to learn.
Yeah, you got to learn. You can't always judge it by numbers.
Yes.
Numbers are wonderful.
Yes.
And like I said, we broke a record this past Sunday. You know, we 580 something, almost 600 people. That's great. But that's not an indicator that everything's okay at your church.
Yep. That's
sometimes
it.
I mean, if that's the case, then some of the largest churches
exactly
in the world,
right.
we know they're false teachers
mm-hmm.
and all that
that's
stuff.
It.
So that's not always an indicator. It's the health of the church is really relying, and I'm going to say this, Pastor, a lot of times the health of the church, it's going to first start in the pulpit.
Sure.
Like if you're not healthy,
mm-hmm.
Then there's a problem. And I mean health, like you're preaching the Word of God,
sure.
you're praying, you're right with the Lord. And then there's a responsibility that falls on your membership.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
we know there's a responsibility there where
Absolutely.
They are going to replicate or make disciples.
Yep.
And that if they don't hear it from the pulpit, then they're not, and they don't see you stepping out in front Absolutely. Trying to lead, then don't expect them to really get in and do it. And so there is a responsibility on the membership as well. And pastor, you should be actively involved in that. And so, yeah, health is not in numbers. Health is in the quantity, not the quantity, but the quality of our membership and the people that we're reaching. I've got one here, and just a statement that I've sometimes will put out on social media too. But it's I learned this years ago. I wish I would have known this in the earlier ministry because I heard the exact opposite. But the statement that we need to remember is it's okay not to be okay.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It's okay not to be okay. Just don't stay there.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the key. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times guys try to fight through discouragement. They try to fight through even sadly depression, mm-hmm. and they try to fight through trials by themselves. And the reason is they feel like they can't talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be very careful who you talk to.
Yep.
You know, I can't just pull one of my church members aside and say, hey, can I talk to you about this thing? I'm going, That's my personal right. thing I'm going through.
Yeah.
First of all, it may blow their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, it may, you know, you got to be careful because they may not be strong enough to handle some of the stuff that's coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
They may not fully understand. I recommend to other pastors to find someone that you can, whether it be a counselor, whether it be and usually it's someone older, mm-hmm. or it could be someone of equal age, but find someone that you trust that you can actually open up to and talk to them, and they're not going to tell the world.
Yeah.
You know, in mm-hmm. confidence.
Yep.
Because if you stay there, if you're not okay, you're going to crumble.
Sure.
You're going to fall under the weight.
Yes.
And I wish that I would have known that not several years ago, but when I first started pastoring this church, it was 2 years into it, was the toughest time. In those first 2 years were tough. I mean, they were tough. Boy, they were just, there were so many attacks, but there was also, we had some vandalism. We had all kinds of different storms and trials. And I was trying to actually handle it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I had to break down and start talking to one individual a lot. And so that helped me immensely because they gave me some great advice. Well, when I started opening up to another mentor, I realized that now I'm sharing the load.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to carry this. Now, of course, we can talk to the Lord.
Sure.
But he's also gave us a multitude of counselors. He's given us, you know, of course, his word, but he's also given us some people in our life.
Absolutely.
And it's okay not to be okay. And mm-hmm. here's what I think. I think that we should express that to our people at times when mm-hmm. we're struggling.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a pastor getting up and saying, folks, would you please pray for me?
Sure.
You know, I'm under attack. I'm going through a season of just, you know, discouragement or whatever. And I feel like I'm under attack. Would you please bathe this in prayer? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Because if we're not careful, we'll put on a cloak of just, you know, this Superman.
That's right.
And people think, well, he's indefensible.
That's right.
I'm going to go on to say this. I believe I am a strong believer in sabbatical.
Yeah.
And the reason sabbaticals have a negative connotation in our movement, when I say movement, I'm talking about the independent world and maybe even Southern Baptist world, I'm not sure, but independent especially, is because typically when a guy takes a sabbatical, he's already run himself ragged
mm-hmm.
to where he's now in some type of depression.
Yep.
And it's almost a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if we taught on what a true sabbatical really is to our church before we ever got to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and we actually taught our church what a sabbatical is, that they would be prepared and say, Pastor, won't you go get refreshed? Won't you go and your family and mm-hmm. go away for a few weeks. Don't preach anywhere. Don't, you know, just go enjoy some and rest.
Yep.
Because here's what people don't understand. The most congregants out there do not think about you're on call 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're getting messages sometimes at 11 and 12 phone calls at 2 in the morning, come to the hospital, 5 a.m. or good morning, pastor. It never stops.
Never clock out.
And the closer you get to the weekend, at least some people on the weekend, they get a little relief and they'll punch back in Monday morning. That's when you're at your... So they don't understand. Plus, as the church grows, a healthy church is going to grow. The weight of that, when more people come in with more baggage, that is another thing. So if a pastor does not get refreshed, he will find himself worn ragged.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm talking about not just spiritually. I'm talking about mentally, and I'm also talking about physically.
Absolutely.
So you have to have some things there. Do not stay there. I'm going to talk to our church. I'm going to preach a couple series this fall or winter before the end of the year on what a true sabbatical is. Rest. Yeah. I'm going to just teach on what rest is and teach our church that, hey, next year I'm going to try to take a few weeks. And I'm not sure we're going to look at the calendar and see how long, but in the summertime somewhere I'm going to slot out a space where our men, you and our staff and our deacons will handle the church while I'm away for just, you know, a few weeks. And it'll be my 7th year, if we want to be real biblical about it.
Yeah.
And the church has grown immensely. It's been unbelievable how it's grown. So there's more to it. Don't stay there and then one day raise your hand and say, okay, I'm tapping out. I'm depressed. I've got to take 3, 4, 5 months off. Because you'll wreck your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because in those down times and weary times is when your mind ain't thinking the best too.
That's
a lot
exactly
of men
right.
fall into deep, dark, sinful behavior because of that. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So why not remain healthy? Your church knows. Our friend DJ Horton, who preached a few weeks ago, DJ takes the month of July off. Just rest. And he's been there almost 19 years. So, you know, you were there a little while, you earned the trust of the people. If you want to know more about it, I can get you some information about sabbaticals, but I do believe it ought to be something that our churches understand in the IFB world, or I hate that little slogan, but you know what I mean, in the independent realm, that should be something that we discuss a lot more with pastors.
Sure.
And churches, you ought to take care of your pastor in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just another minute or two, secret integrity. So
absolutely.
I feel like men need to be in the dark what they are in the light.
Absolutely.
And and men, listen, there's none of us above bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that there needs to be a reminder out there that we need to be men of integrity, men of character. And also men that are morally pure.
Sure.
And these things I knew a long time ago, but I didn't realize the importance of when you're pastoring a church, if that pastor falls, do you know what the damage the repercussions it does to the congregants? It divides the sheep, it scatters the sheep, it sometimes even will destroy a church. And men, I'll just say this, pastors, you have no business messaging or texting a woman that's
Amen.
Not your wife.
Amen.
You know, tag your wife in it. These days of, and you could have done that maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, where people didn't think nothing about it. But I'll be honest with you, for her protection and for your protection and your testimonies,
Absolutely.
Don't message women at all. If you do, make sure your wife is very present and she's either tagged in it or has access to all of your stuff.
Sure.
This we are destroying churches today.
Yes.
But, and I'm talking about all ministry leaders. We are destroying churches today because we are not, we think that we can get away with sin.
Yep.
Like it turns into stuff. And it may even start out silly and start out flirtatious and start out, just goofing. But what will happen is if you're not careful, you let your guard down and you will open yourself up to accusations and possibly even failure.
Sure.
And God forbid, but listen, I'm tired of hearing about it.
Yep.
Like I'm seriously tired of hearing about pastors getting messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, just this week, a big time pastor had to step aside. I'm talking about huge. because of some messages on social media. And there's probably more to that story. But he had to step aside. The elder said, hey, you need to take a leave of absence. We're talking about everybody knows this dude. And he's messaging people on Instagram, a woman, inappropriately, apparently. And my thought is, good grief, if that guy can do that, any of us can do
That's
it.
Exactly
he's
right.
got a great reputation. But yep. now it's marred some because you cannot get away with sin.
That's exactly right.
And listen, we're living in days, 2022. It's not like 1922.
That's exactly right, yeah.
News travels at the speed yeah, of light now.
Absolutely.
And your junk will be found out, and you're not getting away with it.
Yep.
And so we need to be on guard about sinful behavior
sure.
in the dark. Private life, whatever it is, moral, it's going to be found out. It's
yep.
just going to. And we've got to be careful about that. You got one more, Lee?
Don't waste difficult times. I think many times we look at bad times is all bad, but they're not all bad. It's a time for self-evaluation. Bad times are not always bad times. They're opportunities.
Yeah.
And
opportunities
that's biblical. James chapter 1, Romans chapter number 5.
Yeah.
Tribulation worketh patience.
Yeah.
Allow God to mold you during the difficult times.
Well, you know difficult times. I mean, sure. your health back, 2020?
Yep.
Thyroid mm-hmm. cancer
yep.
went
mm-hmm.
through the chemo, the old COVID deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Your wife really struggled there a little bit with COVID there for a while. And so y'all went through a little, cause
sure.
that was during the time you were trying to recover from
sure,
your thyroid,
yeah.
about
yeah.
the same time
yep.
and tough times,
sure.
but it does, it makes you stronger
sure.
if you'll not get weary and well-doing,
absolutely.
You know, if you'll just go through that trial and there's a lot of pastors today that COVID did mess your, it seemed like I've talked to a lot of pastors in the last 3 years that COVID really messed their plans up. It
yeah.
kind of messed things
mm-hmm.
up, and they got discouraged over it. Then some are just going through some things and transitional times. And so, pastors, I just want to encourage you today not to give up and to remember some of these things that Lee and I talked about. Take it to heart. We're gonna do another episode here real soon. Kind of talks about some more things like this. And like in the next few months, next 6 to 12 months, we'll put out something where you can see it in a physical form that you can be reminded of. And again, pastors, I'm here for you. If you'd like to message, or call or text or whatever, I'd love to. And you can even come up for a weekend and spend a weekend. In our ranch that we have, and you can just be ministered to. But I don't want to see pastors feel that they have nowhere to go and nobody to talk to. I don't care who you are. I don't have to know you or know of you. If you're listening to this, I'm talking to you. Don't give up and just quit, and don't stay there. You know, if you are in a bad place, let's get you some help, and then. These other things that Lee talked about, prayer, you know, we don't need to be prayerless. We need to be prayerful. And these things will help us drastically in our ministry. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. And remember, again, please like and share. I know this episode may be a little longer, but we're playing some catch up. We haven't been on air in quite some time. We just want to be a blessing to you. So like and share it on Facebook and on Twitter, and maybe talk about it a little bit. And then if anything's been a blessing to you, please don't be afraid to express it through email or text message, or also you can just put it out there on social media, and we'd love to share it for you. We thank God for each of you and all the listeners that we have. And let us know that you've listened, and we look forward to the next time. God bless.